This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Salmon are beginning to head up the river, and many people are watching to see what kind of run there will be on the Kuskokwim this year. James Nicarai, one of four in-season managers with the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, says the traditional indicators he's learned from his elders tell him a lot, and one of them is the wind's role in pushing salmon along their migration routes.
When there is a certain wind direction, it pushes fish into the mouth of the river.
The other major indicator is the nature of the spring bird migration. Nicarai says the size and timing of the migration are both important. If the birds arrive all at once, so will the fish. But if the birds arrive spread out, so will the fish.
Looking at the birds coming in and observing them, they were late. So those salmon will come in, but the high numbers will be at the later date.
But another sign is the size of the mosquitoes when they first arrive. And he, along with many others, noticed the mosquitoes are pretty big this spring.
This year, when the mosquitoes first came in, they were bigger mosquitoes than last year. And the first kings that I caught were normally bigger than last year.
But what will happen this season, no one knows for certain. Both scientific and traditional knowledge predictions are, after all, just predictions. Mary Paltola, the executive director of the Intertribal Fish Commission, also fishes the Kuskokwim. She says the closure of the lower river to gillnets, which started June 1st this year, is later than previous years. And instead of two gillnet fishing opportunities during the closure, there are three this year. Each are also twice as long as the usual 12-hour openings. The first 24-hour set net opening started on June 3rd at 11 in the morning and closed June 4th at 11 a.m. There are two more set net openings scheduled for June 6th and June 9th. The nets are limited to 6-inch mesh and are no more than 45 mesh in depth and need to be no more than 60 feet in length,
which is very short for our standards in this section of the river.
Paltola says the sets must be set in a way that they are not intentionally targeting king salmon.
The way that the law is written, it said set gill nets may not be operated more than 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark, must be attached to the bank and oriented perpendicular to the river. So I don't even really understand, you know, the legal requirements, but I do understand, you know, not setting the net in order to intentionally catch king salmon.
Managers say these fishing opportunities are designed to catch other species, not king salmon, but any kings that are caught can be kept. The front-end closure on the lower Kuskokwim River is designed to get some of those big king salmon upriver into spawning grounds so they can make more big kings for coming years. Gear like dip nets, beach signs, fish wheels, and hook and line can be used during the closure, and federally qualified subsistence users will be allowed to harvest all kings caught with those devices. And Bethel is back to shared cab rides and flat fares after the emergency COVID-19 taxi rules expired on May 24th. But the COVID-19 pandemic isn't over, and some people refuse to share a cab with strangers. That's causing financial problems for at least one Bethel cab company, Cusco Cab, that says going out of business is a possibility. KYUK's Gray Kim reports on what solutions are being looked at to solve Bethel's taxi problems.
2 months ago, Bethel's largest taxi company, Cusco Cab, shut down for 10 days because many of its drivers refused to work due to fears about COVID-19. On April 1st, the city instituted new emergency rules that prohibited strangers from sharing a taxi. That put Cusco Cab back on the road. About 2 weeks ago, the Bethel City Council allowed the emergency cab rules to expire, bringing back the shared ride system and flat fares. 8 Cusco Cab drivers then quit because they didn't feel like it was safe to go back to normal, according to Cusco Cab co-owner Naeem Shabani. In addition, Shabani says customers are requesting private cabs, even though rules allow taxis to pick up multiple passengers. He says his company is complying with these requests for now, but with fares back to a flat rate due to city requirements, he doesn't know how long that can continue.
We can't send everybody an empty cab for $5. That is just mathematically impossible. There is no profit in doing that. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. There is literally a loss.
Because of the request for empty cabs and a general decrease in taxi riders, Shabani says his company isn't charging drivers their regular dispatch fee. Normally, cab drivers pay the taxi dispatch company a weekly rent for their vehicle permit.
In the last 2.5 months, Costco Cab has made $0 off of its drivers.
And if the empty cab requests become more popular during the COVID-19 pandemic, Shabani fears the worst.
You have a cab carrying just one person. We are going to go out of business before you can write your next article if this starts happening mainstream.
Shabani has asked the city for help keeping his business afloat. At the last city council meeting, city manager Vinny Carrazza introduced an ordinance on behalf of Shabani that would require taxis to install a meter. Shabani said this would give riders a private taxi while ensuring that rides remain profitable for the driver. The city council shot that idea down. Here's Councilmember Alyssa Leary.
It's just at the rates that were proposed, it was too high.
But Shabani sees it differently. He says the city is asking for too much.
Now, the issue is not only do they not want to share a cab, but they're not really interested in having their cab fare raised. Unfortunately, these two together are impossible.
He says the city should consider other options like higher flat rate fares if people want a private cab. Bethel's second largest taxi company, Alaska Cab, is facing a similar downturn in business due to the coronavirus pandemic. But co-owner Chun Chung says he's glad the cab rates are back to normal, saying the per-minute charge was too expensive for riders.
Customer happy, my drivers are happy.
While his drivers are only making half of their usual fare, he says that's better than nothing.
We say thank you for God, you know, 50% good enough. What are you can do, you know?
City manager Carrazza is working on a way to use emergency funds to help the cab's bottom line and also protect the community's health. It's a cab voucher program so elders can guarantee a private cab to themselves.
The coupon will tell the driver, please do not pick up additional fares. I am a high-risk elderly, you know, rider. I don't want strangers sitting next to me.
The elder would pay their normal fare along with a coupon, which the cab driver could then redeem with the city to compensate for not picking up other passengers. Carrazza says the city will use federal CARES Act funding to pay for the program. And since the city has $8.4 million in CARES funding, Carrazza said that potentially the private cab voucher program could expand.
We want to roll it out with elders first. And if the program works the way we intend it, we could probably roll it out to high-risk groups. And then, you know, that question of, well, what of the rest of the people who are healthy but concerned? You know, can they do that as well? So, I mean, we could take it step by step.
Carrazza said he has the authority to act without city council approval since he isn't changing the price of a cab ride. He said the private cab voucher program for elders will be live by June 15th. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Donlin Gold has announced plans to restart its drilling program as the state loosens coronavirus health mandates and travel restrictions. Donlin Gold has called this drilling program the biggest in 12 years, but the company had to suspend its operations in March as state officials issued health mandates restricting travel and requiring quarantine. The company wants to build one of the biggest gold mines in the world and recently started drilling for samples to possibly expand the mine's operating life. Once the mine is constructed, company officials say the production could last 27 years or longer, depending on the deposit. On May 22nd, Donlin Gold announced plans to rotate 60 people in two crews, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off during the summer. The company will require employees to take a coronavirus test before coming into the camp and when they leave. They will screen employees for coronavirus symptoms, use charter flights to transport people to and from the mine, and maintain 6 feet distance in eating areas and living quarters. So far, there's only been 2 confirmed coronavirus cases in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Donlin Gold spokesperson Christina Wolston says they are still hiring employees. So far, 30 people will come from Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta villages and 40 are shareholders. Donlin Gold has been vague on the number of people coming in from outside of the region to work at the camps. As part of its lease agreement with the 2 native corporations that own the land and mineral rights, Donlin Gold must prioritize shareholder hires, but many shareholders live in Alaska's urban areas or in the lower 48. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukden coming up.